You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the third hour, the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, and every broadcast we do here on TPC, yours truly and Keith Alexander will continue to examine and break down some of the most, as we put it last week, the most ludicrous headlines of the week. So we did a lot of it in the first hour. We got a lot more to do. So that's
no shortage.
Yes, we're going to have to go 4 hours, I guess. But no, a lot more to come tonight, so don't miss a minute of it. But first, we are very happy, always pleased to welcome back to the program Dr. Kevin McDonald. Kevin McDonald is a former professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, and the author of several books, including Cultural Insurrections and his most recent, Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition. He currently serves as editor of the Occidental Quarterly. Be sure to check him out at theoccidentalobserver.net. He returns this hour to help us make sense of a world gone mad. Kevin, always good to have you on the show. Really looking forward to tonight's conversation.
Hey, it's great to be here, James, as always.
Well, the last time you were here...
Talk about it, I guess.
No, really. So I'm just going to give the opening salvo to you, my friend. The last time you were here was in January, and I told Jesse Lee Peterson last week, January seemed like the halcyon days of American history compared to where we are now.
We're going over Niagara Falls in a barrel as a society. What's driving it, Kevin?
Yeah, what have been your most... All right, let me put it this way and let you go in any direction you want, because I do want to talk about the psychology behind whites, but first to you, of everything that's happened in recent weeks, what has struck you the most?
What's troubled me the most? Well, the whole thing. I mean, the toppling of the statues and the looting, the rioting. I've been most struck by the fact that this is a top-down revolution. I mean, this is, you turn on the TV and you see these poor blacks rioting, and doing all this stuff. And then you see these white Antifa who they probably live in their mother's basement, and they don't, they're not really,
competent,
prestigious people by any means. But when you see, corporations making donations to Black Lives Matter, when you see, universities, I'm still on the email list at my old university, and they're all virtue signaling about this thing. And, it's unanimous. Nobody ever dissents from it. And when you see political leaders, the mayor of Seattle, the governors, basically telling the police to stand down. I mean, in Seattle, they burned a police station. They've trashed businesses. I mean, there's no concern for these small businesses who probably they'll probably never come back. The first they had the virus, now they got this. The top newspapers, the Washington Post, New York Times, you look at them, the Times published an op-ed by a history professor earnestly informing the public that a statue in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park, whose links to white supremacy are not obvious, need to be destroyed, she said, because it's linked to Sir Francis Drake, the English explorer, and he apparently was a slave trader back, 16th century. So it's pervasive. It's the top people, the top organizations. Look at Apple, Facebook, Coca-Cola, and that's the thing about this. This is not, you're going to have a revolution. It's nice to have the elites on your side. It's nice to be able to have that support, and so that's what's really struck me about this, and that's why I think we have to be very concerned about it, because it's coinciding with a major push to censor dissident thought, they're even pressuring Facebook and Twitter to get more extreme in how they remove so-called hate speech. And you're seeing they're now campaigns to boycott Facebook ads, Twitter ads, by all these companies. And the result has been that Facebook stock went down 8% or something like that. And I was, this is elite. I mean, you guys, you know, without a high school education, black guys running around looting and doing all this stuff, they can't do this kind of stuff. This is high level stuff. So I think that's why this does have legs. You know, I'm hopeful that this will make people wake up. If you listen to conservative radio, there's certainly a lot of outrage about it. But the polls don't look good. And you know, there's this moral fervor out there that we've talked about, and I talk a lot about in my books, you know, that has just been amped up. And it's terrible. You know, it's the kind of thing that this moral imperative, we could probably talk about, white people just knuckle under that. I mean, they don't want to be seen as bad people. And so I do fear that there'll be some kind of Democrat sweep in November. But when you combine a bad economy because of the virus with this thing and Trump not really getting a handle on this, I just, you know, despite the fact that Biden is a non-entity, I don't know. You know, we'll see.
Kevin, this is Keith Alexander. Let me ask you this. Every fool on the left has access to a megaphone, a microphone. They're the only opinions that we're hearing about. There's no white spokesman. And this is obviously far beyond going against the Confederacy or slavery.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
anti-white, pure and simple. And there doesn't seem to be any pushback from any group of white people. The Mississippi legislature, for example, voted to take down the Confederate emblem on the state flag. You know, this is really T.S. Eliot from The Hollow Man saying this is the way the world will end, not with a bang but a whimper. Is there some reason why we're not hearing any dissenting voices at all, or what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, white voices, explicitly white, identified as white voices and proscribed for a long time. I mean, we don't have any organization like the NAACP or La Raza or anything like that. Basically, that has been, you know, that is the third rail out there. A politician says, you should stand up for white interests, and we have a stake to play. We shouldn't be ashamed of our past, that we're getting a one-sided picture here. And all that, but you know, it falls on deaf ears, and they will, you know, go against anybody who sticks his head up, and that's why, you know, it's just going to get worse. I mean, this is why I'm talking about those campaigns, even against Facebook, which is of course Jewish company basically, and Twitter. So it's wall to wall, and it is anti-white, and it's absolutely.
Hold on right there, my friend, Dr. Kevin MacDonald, a man at the tip of the spear, one of our great hopes, one of our great leaders and spokesmen. So honored to have been able to enjoy his friendship for a long, long time now, a couple of decades almost. We'll be back with him right after this.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, little Q. The calm before the storm. By a friend of Medjugorje, the strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, little Q, the calm before the storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Thank you, Art Frith. Thank you, Del Shannon. I want to remind you one more time, ladies and gentlemen, to be sure to stay tuned to the third hour tonight, all the way through. It's wall-to-wall coverage of these headlines. We're going to talk in the third hour about Bubba Wallace and NASCAR. We're going to talk about Mel Gibson. We're going to talk about Disney. You do not want to miss the third hour. Before we get back to our featured guest for this evening, Dr. Kevin McDonald, the esteemed Professor Keith, a quick comment.
Right. Dr. McDonald, Voltaire said back in the French Enlightenment, if you want to know who rules over you, ask who you are not allowed to criticize. We're going to ask you that in relation to this leftist assault that we've been witnessing over the past month on traditional white racial interests. Who is behind that?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it is a top-down phenomenon now. I study Jews, obviously, and my argument basically about this, I mean, because it's certainly not all Jews. I mean, you got all these organizations, these big companies and all that, is far more than that. At the same time, Jews are certainly a central part of our new elite since the 1960s. And this is a major aspect of my book, The Culture of Critique. This really goes back to the 1960s. And actually, a lot of it's sort of reminiscent. You know, in the 1960s, we had riots in Detroit, we had the Watts riots, and various other places in the 1960s, especially after Martin Luther King was assassinated. It's been going on, you know, since then. Rodney King, Ferguson, just you name it. But certainly, Jewish organizations have been central to the civil rights movement. I document that, and they have. Pursued this. In the present situation, the major Jewish organizations are entirely on board with this, and they've made resolutions and so on. The only exception is this guy, Morton Klein, of the Zionist Organization of America. He actually treated he said, BLM is a Jew-hating, white-hating, Israel-hating, conservative black-hating, violence-promoting, dangerous, Soros-funded extremist group of haters. That was sort of surprising, but a lot of that is true, and I think it is, you know, that that, you know, and it reflects, you know, some sort of ambivalence among Jews that this Black Jewish alliance is not all it's covered, you know, sometimes mentioned to be. I mean, there all that violence in New York last winter against Orthodox Jews by Blacks. It's something like the present situation, they're fundamentally on board with the major narrative. And, you know, part of my book, The Culture Critique, is certainly, I documented a lot of these Jewish intellectuals, who are very famous and important, like Freud and so on, who just expressed hatred towards the people and culture of the West. And that's really what we're saying now. This is an anti-West, anti-white revolution going on here. And one example of that, you know, is just the other day, they've started to have a campaign to take down the statue of St. Louis, you know, King Louis IX of France.
I saw that.
I talked about that in my second book. Oh, I think St. Louis was a saint. You know, he was probably the most powerful, wealthiest man in Europe at the time, you know, 13th century. And, but he lived like a monk, you know, and he was a true Christian. Married to one woman, had 11 kids, and went off on the Crusades to fight the Muslims. But he also prohibited Jews from lending money. And they ended up leaving because they couldn't make money that way. The point is that Jews don't like him at all. So now there's a campaign to take down the statue. So far, they haven't had asked to actually rename the city of St. Louis. But that's
coming, probably.
Yeah, I mean, why not? If they can rename the state of Rhode Island, if they can take down the state flag of Mississippi, why not rename a city? I mean, that seems commonplace.
Well,
now,
one of the things we've always said, Dr. McDonald, is that Jews are the yeast that makes the dough rise in every left-wing movement. And, you know, Giles Corey, who is one of the writers for Occidental Observer, your organization, said recently, remember, the enemy is Jewish. All else is distraction.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm at the Occidental Observer. I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead. And Kevin, very quickly respond to that, and then we have a caller from Colorado, especially for you. So, Kevin, to you very quickly.
Oh, well, just this petition is an amazing petition that these people have gotten together against St. Louis. They said, petition called Louis a, quote, rabid anti-Semite who inspired Nazi Germany. You believe that? As if Hitler was this stuff.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, but I'll tell you. I'll tell you, Kevin, I have been to the city of Worms in Germany, where they have a very beautiful plaza with a very striking monument to Martin Luther. I mean, you know, this is really what it's devolved into is, well, and by the way, that's where the Diet of Worms was.
Luther, if there's any statues of him, they're going to go after, you know, Lutheran churches. Change your name. Do something. You know?
Exactly. That's what I mean. Basically, any white who was born or lived before 1965, they're gone. I mean, they're all on the chopping block. We got to go to this caller, though. Gentlemen, we have to go to this caller very quickly. Matt in Colorado, you have a question or a comment for Dr. McDonald?
Oh, yeah. I just want to call it a, hey, Keith, you should write a book. I own a book from James and Dr. McDonald, too.
That's right. You have the trifecta.
What's that?
No, I said you would have the trifecta when Keith writes his memoirs, but go ahead.
But yeah, Griff, while you're saying, like, I'm out here in the Midwest, and even this liberal stuff is coming out here. Like, I mean, I'm originally from Kansas. Like, we had Custer out here, we had Hickok out here, and they're wanting to change street names out here because they're racist. You know what I mean? It's just, and they in Colorado, they recently just took down the Kit Carson statue.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, the Guardian newspaper recently came out with an article that said that statues aren't enough. We need to take down antebellum architecture, like Revival stuff.
Keith,
you know.
Keith, forget it. I mean, it's going to come down to our flesh and blood and our bones, and they're going to come in and kill us. I mean, the whole white genocide. Listen, Kevin, Matt, Keith, everything we have ever believed has been proven true beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I want to defer to the caller. You're on with Dr. McDonald. We have about a minute before the next break. Matt, I want to give you the opportunity to converse with Kevin. Go, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, Kevin, I don't know, because I went back to college recently, and, like, there's all that anti-white stuff in the classroom. Like, all my classmates were white. I took a class on, like, the Civil War. Of course, James and Keith, they bashed the Southerners. I took a class on the Holocaust. They wanted to bash Germans. I have German descent. I don't hate myself being German. So, like, all the students were, or I took an Indian class, just anti-white stuff.
Yeah. It's just amazing. I mean, it's wall to wall now, from kindergarten really through college, and you know, they want to make mandated courses. So, like in my university, and they're doing this now. They're insisting on ethnic studies requirements. So all those courses are taught by activists, and they all hate white people basically. And so you're not going to get out of Cal State Long Beach with any kind of degree without getting that message. I don't care if you're chemical engineering.
Yeah, I worked in service a couple of years ago. I said, you know, they're not going to stop with Confederate statues, guys. They're going to go for everything. They didn't believe
me. Yeah, for everything. And I think James is right. This is the beginning of the gulags and genocide. I mean, I worry, you know, if Biden gets in, the Democrats get in, sooner or later they will. And what they do,
I can sort of tell, like these liberals ain't playing around with you.
Yeah. Imagine being a college student in this day and age. What trauma. What psychological trauma. We're going to talk about the psychology behind all of this with Dr. McDonald. Matt, thank you for your support. Thank you for your call. We'll be back with Kevin McDonald right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
One governor is reevaluating part of his plan to reopen his state's economy. USA's Kenneth Burns has more.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says looking back, he would have slowed down the reopening of bars.
Now seeing in the aftermath of how quickly the coronavirus spread in the bar setting, and you know how a bar setting in reality just doesn't work with a pandemic. People go to bars to get close and to drink and to socialize.
Abbott, speaking to television station KVIA, said the data looked good when they decided to reopen the state's economy. Now he says the state's obligation is to take measured steps to slow the spread of the coronavirus. There are now more than 5,000 people in the hospital in the Lone Star State because of coronavirus. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns.
This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by June 30th. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have. And start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
It was a historical moment in Mississippi.
Of 85 yeas and 34 nays, resolution passes.
Lawmakers have tentatively approved legislation to drop the Confederate battle emblem from their state flag. That symbol has come under intense criticism in recent weeks amid nationwide protests against racial injustice. Republican Governor Tate Reeves now says he will sign the bill. He previously said he wouldn't veto one. A commission will design a new flag that cannot include the Confederate emblem, though it must include the phrase, "In God We Trust." Princeton's Board of Trustees has voted to remove Woodrow Wilson's name from the university's School of Public and International Affairs. Traces of Wilson's legacy include not just the name of the school, but also the name of a residential college, which the university intends to shutter after two new residential colleges complete construction. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and esteemed guest, Dr. McDonald, you just heard from the news break what's going on in Mississippi. And the reason that's happening is not because the majority of Mississippians do not agree with us. They do agree with us. It's because the left is allowed. Well, they do control the microphones. They are allowed to exert any sort of political pressure imaginable, up to and including arson and terrorism, to advance their aims. And that's what you get. The majority of Mississippians who would support the flag are not allowed to speak out without fear of losing their job. So, of course,
the silent majority is the result, Agnew called it.
The results are predictable on what's going to happen there. I mean, Kevin has covered so much of this tonight. I mean, the whole thing, the numbers are skewed. The numbers are skewed. I mean, you're obviously only going to see one side of this thing. We have no representation in the establishment media. I mean, certainly we have the Occidental Observer. We have this radio program. But, I mean, comparatively speaking, we're not reaching the number of people they're reaching because we're shut out and our message is distorted. You don't have organizations that stand up like the NAACP equivalent for white people, because those organizations would be shot down as racist.
Well, they used to have them.
Well, they would be disbanded. They would be, they would be put out of existence. That, you don't even have the police hardly anymore.
No, they're going to do away. They're going to banish the police along with white people.
Well, but what Kevin was talking about earlier was just really interesting. I mean, but this is how societies collapse, very slowly, and then it happens very rapidly. I mean, you mentioned this, Kevin. Twitter is gagging. The sitting president of the United States of America for vowing to restore law and order in the American capital, but not the violent anarchists who are seizing control of the streets to establish lawless zones. You're a West Coast guy. What's happening up in Seattle? I mean, could you have ever imagined it? But on Twitter this week, President Trump said, "There will never be an autonomous zone in Washington, D.C. as long as I'm your president. If they try, they will be met with serious force." And then Twitter said, "We've placed a public interest notice on this tweet for violating our policy against abusive behavior." I mean, Kevin, can you imagine? And it's not just that. The official campaign ads for Donald Trump's reelection
are being censored.
Are being censored on Facebook, and they say that meets Facebook's threshold for advocating of organized hate, whatever organized hate is. Kevin, this is where we're at.
It's Orwellian.
Your response. Orwellian doesn't cover it. Your response.
Orwellian, indeed. It's very true. And wall to wall, the West Coast, Portland and Seattle are Antifa hotbeds. And basically, Antifa runs the city of Portland. The police don't do anything to them. They did apparently prevent an autonomous zone. But, of course, in Seattle, they did not. I guess it's gradually disbanding. The mayor's laid them to leave. It's not easy because they're of some hardcore folks there, but I don't know. You know, they have, as you say, for Facebook is clamping down like that on Trump. At the same time, Facebook is under pressure from the ADL to remove hate speech, good quotes. You know, and same with Twitter. So even though they had, I know that on Twitter, my tweets are not disseminated properly. I know that my follower, my followers are curtailed. I have a certain number, and I never get any higher than that.
And you know, Kevin, when I was a young man and you had the Mario Savio and the free speech movement in Berkeley, you know, they've gone full circle. Now it's suppress free speech movement that is taking charge of American public life.
That's right. I mean, it's very different from the 1960s. I mean, in the 60s, there were all these revolts, but the authorities did not really condone it. I mean, they came in there and basically dealt with it. And, you know, then they, of course, in the aftermath, they did all these programs and they started throwing money at it. And there were, you know, affirmative action, all these things that they tried to do for blacks for the last 50 years. With no success. I mean, and that's the thing about that, that this cannot be solved. The problem with this sort of underclass of black people. I mean, there's a black middle class now. Blacks, you know, can be as whatever they want to be, really, in this country. There is no, you know, no significant racism that holds them back from jobs and stuff like that. But they can't benefit from these things. There's a certain element of the population, a large percentage, unfortunately, where in these they congregate in these big cities, in the ghettos, like in Minneapolis. I mean, I saw the transformation in Minneapolis in the 1990s. The blacks were coming up from Chicago because the welfare benefits were better there. Everybody was talking about it, and pretty soon you had, you know, crime, you had ghetto there, and then, you know, the liberal Minnesota, they brought in Somalians. So,
Kevin, this is Keith. Let me say this. I saw something in the news this week that said that California's legislature was basically now saying that equal opportunity and equal access is against the law, that affirmative action for non-whites is the new equal opportunity or something of that sort.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it.
Voted against using race-based admissions and so on, affirmative action, where your race counts positively for something. In fact, at least universities never pay attention to that. They had found ways around it as best they could. But now it's going to be official. And so you're going to see explicit discrimination in favor of blacks and also Latinos, because they're another underachieving group. And the problem is that, you know, no matter what they do, like one of the big things now is reparations. This guy Robert Johnson is a black entrepreneur. He runs the Black Entertainment Network. You know, he's worth $600 million or something. He wants, you know, $14 trillion reparations, so each black person would get $350,000. I mean, would that really change anything? Because the fact is, it's not going to change the academic gap. It's not going to change, make them have middle-class family values. And so in 5 years after they buy all the consumer items that they will with those things, you'll be back to square.
That's just going to be the first course of a seven-course dinner.
Yeah. Exactly, and sooner or later there'll be some other black criminal killed, you know, like George Floyd was, or like Michael Brown was, or Trayvon Martin, or whatever his name is, and there'll be more unrest, and then there'll be more programs, because they can never admit, they can never deal with black IQ, they just can't do it. That is off the table. You can cite all the statistics you want about police involvement with blacks. There's no racial pattern there, and it doesn't matter. This is it's a photo op. It's a video, and it has this emotional thing, and the big media just runs with that, and everybody is apologizing. It's a big world panic. That's the way it is, but nothing's going to change that. We're going to go through this again. But obviously, the people on the left are really amping up the anti-white campaign.
Kevin, the thing is, you know, Black Lives Matter, this terrorist action, you know, they call it peaceful protest. You know, talk about Orwellian. Peaceful means
right.
Burning down cities and looting and arson.
Looting.
But they've not actually mentioned when it will be enough. I mean, at what point, you know, I have said in recent weeks on this show with our guests, they're not marching for racial equality under the law. They've had that for decades. They're not marching because of police brutality, because statistically it's non-existent. I mean, there are not white cops out there going after blacks. There are a couple of instances where accidents have happened, and we certainly know of those instances because of the media's microphone, but it doesn't really exist in the real world. So, you know, but they've never actually said when they will have achieved their aims. When will they be sated? When will, and God only knows.
Well, the reason is because they will never be sated. They will always come back. You know, it's like, I forget the movie that it had with, you know, Edward G. Robinson as playing Little Rico, and Humphrey Bogart said, "What is it you want out of life?" And Rico thought for a moment and said, "More."
That's well, you know, Mississippi changing its flag, Rhode Island changing its name, disbanding police. For God's sake, disbanding police. But it's never enough. Wendy's, you burn down a Wendy's, Wendy's gives you $1 million.
Right.
Listen, we're going to get to the psychology behind this. We've been teasing it all night. We're going to get to that with the psychologist himself, Dr. McDonald, or at least the psychology professor, Dr. McDonald, when we come back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no more.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana. That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Without a doubt, one of the fastest hours of a year of the year of broadcasting is passing right now with Kevin McDonald. So much to cover that we haven't got to. Kevin, I want to talk to you about the psychological aspect of what's going on. You were a professor of psychology for your career, and perhaps you can shed some light on that. Keith and I were talking during the break. I mean, it's no longer enough to be quiet. You can't just be silent. Now you are being punished for being silent. So we see the ratcheting up of the preening and the over-the-top pronouncements of the support for the radical so-called Black Lives Matter agenda now.
Virtue signaling.
Yeah. Coach Mike Krzyzewski of Duke University's men's basketball team, he wants you to know he's not just a proponent of the Black Lives Matter agenda. He's a super proponent of it. And then next week there'll be another college coach that says, well, I'm not a racist like Mike Krzyzewski. He's only a super proponent. I'm a super duper proponent. So this is what's happening. So, Kevin, I mean, this is...
Is this Stockholm Syndrome, Kevin, or what is going on?
Well, Kevin has written about psychological altruism. And Kevin, this is the question. Stockholm Syndrome, yes, let's keep that in mind. But pathological altruism. You know, is it something that affects our genes or
are only white people that succumb to this, or do other people do?
Our genes or our thinking? Because as recently as just a few decades ago, white people still took their own side in an argument. And I don't think if it was something that was going on genetically speaking that we would have devolved so much in just a couple of decades that would be manifesting itself in the situation. So it has to be something mental. So let's talk about it. The psychological aspect. What is going on
with these white people?
Well, you know, culture is very, very important. That's why I wrote a book, The Culture Critique. And in my most recent book, I talk about moral communities. It's fundamental to individualism. That we are not so based on kinship as other societies. It's really the secret success of the West. We had this strong streak of individualism going way back to the Greeks and Romans. What the problem with moral community is when you give up the media high ground and the academic high ground, then the messages that are telling you what is moral and what isn't come from these other people who are really hostile towards you. And so you had this hostile elite running the media, giving all these messages and creating these moral panics. And as I said, you know, part of the one theme of culture critique is how the Jewish intellectuals and their hatred toward the West. Well, that's ensconced in universities. It's ensconced in the media. It's gotten worse and worse. So there is a genetic component, but the genetic component is a very broad, general thing that worked very well for us, in terms of our historically. That, individualism has worked for us. We don't, we create these high trust communities and societies. We tend to evaluate people on the basis of their talent, not their kinship status. Our status in society is based on friendships and trust rather than who you're related to. If you go to Africa, it's different. If you go to the Middle East, it's different. So that's our strength, but it's also our weakness, because once you give up the high ground in the media and the academic world, they are telling you now what is moral, what isn't. So what we see, as you were saying, you have this sort of competitive virtue signal. I'm more moral than you are, and it never ends. And so they're always trying to one-up each other by pledging allegiance to this moral regime that we have. And that's a tough thing that it is so hard to crack, really, that we have to say that our interests are moral, and what is being done to us is radically immoral. But, try to get the message out. We don't control the New York Times. We don't control the big networks or anything.
Well, what changed, Kevin? This is Keith Alexander. After World War II, Jewish power and influence was congratulating white Gentiles from America. We were the greatest generation. We had defeated the great threat to Judaism of Hitler and whatnot. But now, amazingly, they've turned on the white Gentiles.
I think that what Jewish analysts decided, really the Frankfurt School, I think, was instrumental in this. They had had a class-based theory. that it was, you know, classical Marxism based on, you know, working class people, unite, revolution, all that stuff. But then they saw the working class in Germany voted for Hitler. And so they really had the idea that it's really all about race, that you can't, that if you have a homogeneous white society, that will ultimately turn against the Jews, because they've seen it so many times. And you think about St. Louis, you know, what was happening there was, at least really in part, in large part, was demands from the people to get rid of the Jews because of the money lending and everything. So the point is that Jewish intellectuals understand that. And so the way that they wanted to deal with that was to create diversity, to bring in, you know, other groups that they could ally with, and Jews have made all kinds of efforts to ally with all these other ethnic groups that come in. And of course, blacks, well, first and foremost, beginning with the NAACP, which is a Jewish organization, really until probably the 1960s or so. But that has been their strategy. That's why immigration has been so important to them. Why the mainstream Jewish community is gung-ho for non-white immigration, because that's how you create a society that can't rise up in a homogeneous way as they did in Germany in the 1930s. And it has happened else, you know, many other times in European history and other areas too. But if you have all these other groups, and you know, the problem is that part of the problem too is that when these groups come in, isn't it amazing how quickly these immigrants get on the idea that white people are bad? You know, they come.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. They are after, you know, they get us in there, and then they attack white people. They become, it's like I've said, in any left wing movement, the foot soldiers might be black, brown, yellow, homosexuals, women. But the generals are always Jews.
All right, Kevin, how psychologically do... All right, what do you think differentiates people like us from the majority of white people who believe like us, and I still believe fundamentally a majority of whites do? What gives us the ability to speak out, or the courage, or the intestine? You know, why can we do what so many whites refuse to do, and how psychologically can whites regain the conditioning needed to want to survive and not cheer their own demise, as some whites are doing?
Yeah, so many whites are. And, of course, the system is rigged against us. I mean, if you want a career, if you want fame and fortune, and in today's society, you're going to have to sign on to this. And there have been so many examples of people who have suffered greatly from that. So part of it is incentive, is really material rewards, incentivization. But some of us are more ethnocentric. Some of us are, even though we tend not to be as ethnocentric as other people, some of us are more ethnocentric than others. And I think Southerners, white Southerners, have a stronger sense, a historical sense, going back to the Civil War and everything, Reconstruction, and the long history in America, that they have gotten a bad deal, and they feel, you know, more of a sense of grievance, and then more of a sense of being, you know, coming together. But culture makes a difference. For so many whites, they've been programmed, you know, in school, and it's getting worse. You know,
well, they don't call it cultural Marxism for nothing, do they?
No, it's not. I mean, and culture is important. And I talk a lot about the psychological mechanisms involved in various places, but included in my recent book to individuals in the Western liberal tradition, because, you know, what the culture is so important. We have these mechanisms that are able to inhibit our natural impulses. And so many of us want to basically live our lives and do what we want to do. And, you know, it's cost all of us, people who are known by their real name and everything. I don't know what personal costs you've had, but I know a lot of people, and myself, it would be a lot of cost to this. And so, you have to sort of decide, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you, Kevin. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine, because we're friends, but death before dishonor, I would rather be dead than to betray my convictions. I would rather be dead than dishonor my ancestors. And you know what? I don't know what makes me unique in that, and I don't know why I can come to those conclusions and other whites don't. I just don't understand it. I don't understand why everybody doesn't believe like that.
All psychological traits are heritable to some extent. So you may have more proclivity to that. And you know, you may come from a long line of people that really valued family, had great family relationships, and valued your ancestors, and so that's part of a tradition. All these things may come together, and you're in the South where those things they're still alive much more than in the North. I think in the book. I really emphasize the Yankees, the Puritan strand as being particularly individualistic and particularly having negative effects on America and American culture. These are the people that started the Civil War and the whole thing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to be less individualistic to an extent and certainly more communitarian.
More
Kevin
tribal.
McDonald has been telling the truth for a long, long time. We need more truth tellers. If you value the few we have left, go to theoccidentalobserver.net. Support the work of Kevin. Kevin, always great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.